This is Kennedy Classics with Dr. D. James Kennedy. Welcome to Kennedy Classics.
Thank you for joining us. I'm Jerry Newcomb.
And I'm Jennifer Cassidy. In America, we've been blessed with the freedom of religion for over 200 years. But more and more, we see that freedom being squelched. Increasingly, there's a price to be paid for standing for Jesus and for biblical truth.
And Christians in other parts of the world, like the largely Islamic Middle East, are suffering extreme persecution and even death. How can a Christian stand firm under such attacks? Are you ready to stand up for Christ no matter the cost? On today's program, you'll be challenged and encouraged to press on. And we'll have a special report on how the temperature is being turned up on Christians around the world.
And we begin with a timely and timeless reminder of how we always need to be faithful to Jesus Christ in this powerful message from my dad, the late Dr. D. James Kennedy, called Semper Fi.
Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from the second chapter of the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ to St. John, chapter 2, verse 8. The letter of Christ to the church in Smyrna. May we hear the word of our God. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And may God speak to us today through this portion of his holy word, and may his name be ever glorified. Amen. One author that I was reading recently said that as the author of many books, he naturally had many thesauruses or thesauri, which contain, of course, thousands of quotations from hundreds and hundreds of various authors. And recently he bought 3 new ones. And he was amazed when he looked up the term honor or faithfulness and found that there were no quotes by any modern authors at all included in any one of these 3 newly printed thesauri. Strange, I thought. And then I elsewhere read that a survey of high school seniors revealed that very few of them, hardly any, knew what the English word fidelity meant. But a large number of them, tragically and ironically, knew what the word infidelity meant. Maybe they heard it at their parents' divorce. And it seems like the concepts of fidelity and honor and loyalty are disappearing from our culture. This was not true, however, in Smyrna. In the centuries before Christ, Smyrna had become a Roman colony, and they were noted for their faithfulness, for their fidelity to the empire and to the Caesar. And when other cities were attempting to secede, when treachery and conspiracies were abounding, where wars are raging around them, the city of Smyrna remained ever faithful. And in the first century AD, when Christ was brought by the apostle to the city of Smyrna, many came to know the Savior, and they too were known as faithful Christians. In fact, the bishop at the church at Smyrna, when these words were written by Christ, by John rather, was one of John's disciples, one of John's converts named Polycarp, one of the great famous church fathers in the second century. Polycarp, who became a martyr for Christ. He was brought to trial when he was 86 years old. And he said that all of his life he had followed Christ since he was just a child. And Christ had never failed him. He had ever been faithful. How could he deny him now? And Polycarp was martyred for his faith and received that crown of life. But the church at Smyrna remained faithful even after the onslaught of Islam, when thousands of Muslims began to come out of North Africa and Saudi Arabia into Asia Minor, now Turkey, and trying to take over all of Europe. And they remained firm and resisted that onslaught until 1424. They were the last city in Asia Minor to finally yield to that onslaught. They were faithful unto death. Well, why the title Semper Fi? It's interesting that I asked people in the last service how many people knew what that meant. And to my amazement, there were very, very few. Semper Fi. How many of you know what that means? May I see your hands? Oh, wonderful. How many of you have served in the U.S. Marine Corps? May I see your hands? Well, as all of you know, it is the motto of the United States Marines. Semper Fi, the shortened form of Semper Fidelis, which means always faithful. Now, the sufferings that I mentioned with Polycarp and others in that church, and which were so prevalent in the first three centuries of the Roman persecutions, when 10 huge tidal waves of persecution swept across the Roman Empire from Nero to Diocletian, rising with ever greater crescendo of fury, horrific, terrible, unbelievable tortures that only the most depraved of minds could conceive of, where everything imaginable was done to Christians. That did not end in the third century, but it goes on through the centuries, and amazing to tell, mirabile dictu, in the 20th century there had been more martyrs for Christ than in any other century, including the first. Millions upon millions of Christians have been found faithful unto death in this century. Are you faithful unto death? Salvation, as I said, is through faith in Jesus Christ, but our faithfulness is the only way that we can reveal the reality of that faith. Am I a Christian? Are you? The only way that you can know that I am a Christian, that I have faith, that I am filled with faith, the only way that you can know that is that I am faithful. And dear ones, I am worried about some of you. I do not see the faithful service of Christ in the core of his church, the soldiers of Christ. I do not see you serving him. We all just sang, I love to tell the story, I love to tell the story. Or some have never heard. I don't believe it. I believe that some of you lied when you sang that. You haven't told that story to anybody in the last year, have you? You know to whom I'm speaking. Some of you have never told that story to anybody in your entire lifetime. You are not faithful. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. You remember the story about the small church out in the boonies of the Soviet Union in their heyday? In the midst of a service just like this, suddenly there was a crash as four soldiers kicked in the front door and stomped down to the front of the church with machine guns turned on the congregation. About 100 people there. And they said, "You filthy Christians. You're the offscouring of the earth. You're a plague on the glorious atheistic society of the Soviet Union, and you are going to die today. You are not fit to live. You are a blotch on our glorious motherland." However, there may be some among you who are not here because you believe this foolish nonsense. And we will give you 1 minute to get out of this building. Silence. And then suddenly the scuffle of feet, and about half the congregation raced for the door. After which one soldier closed it, the others with their machine guns trained on the congregation, set them down and said, "Brethren, we have come to worship Christ with you. But first, we had to get rid of the hypocrites." What about you? Would you be in or out of that church? Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Death, life. The promise of him who is life itself. Ah, dear ones, how our nation, how our church needs faithful ones. I hope that this day, many of you will commit your lives or commit him afresh to be faithful unto Christ. And you will take for your own the motto of the United States Marines, Semper Fi, ever faithful, O Christ, my King. May we pray. Lord, forgive us for our infidelity, for our unfaithfulness, for our lack of service, for our presumption that because we have made a profession of faith and attend a weekly ceremony, that we are soldiers of thine, for we have been unfaithful in so many things. O God, we repent while yet there is time, that we might be among those faithful ones who shall wear upon their heads the crown of life and be the recipients of that gift of a never-ending, imperishable, glorious, eternal life, which thou wilt give unto them who art faithful unto death. In thy name, O Christ our King, we pray. Amen.
As my father pointed out in his message, God tells us to be faithful unto death, and he will give us a crown of life. He wrote an important book to help new Christians begin to grow in faithfulness. It's called Beginning Again. We'd like to send you this book to teach you how to study the Bible, how to pray, and how to find a church home. Please write to us or call our toll-free number and ask for Beginning Again. It's a dangerous thing to bear the name of Christian in today's world. If anyone thought that persecution of Christians ended in the Colosseum of ancient Rome, they were badly mistaken, as today's headlines show us. To give us an update on the threat Christians face under radical Islam and other hostile forces, here is our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb and John Rabe.
The most underreported story in the news this year is the alarming increase in the persecution of Christians, especially in the Middle East.
In places like Egypt, Syria, and Iraq, the so-called Arab Spring has turned into Christian winter, with entire Christian populations being exiled or wiped out.
Christianity in Mosul is dead, and a Christian Holocaust is in our midst.
And yet many Christians in America have been silent. The author of Hebrews says, "Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body." Today, John Rabe joins me as we take a look at Christian persecution. John, what has brought this about?
Well, unfortunately, Jerry, what we see happening around the world is not anything new, but it's really ramped up even just in the past year or two. And that is, wherever radical Islam goes, persecution of Christians follows immediately behind. And the reason for that is because it's actually built into radical Islam. Intolerance of Christians is actually built into it. And so Christians under Islamic states, and this has been true for some time, have essentially three choices. One, you can convert to Islam. Two, you can pay the jizya, which is the tax levied on unbelievers, and it is a confiscatory tax that most can't afford. Or three, you can die. There is no concept of religious toleration like we have in the Western world.
Well, you see those bumper stickers that say coexist. You don't see many of those in Mosul, Iraq?
That's exactly right. That's a Christian concept that people will be allowed the freedom of conscience and the freedom to worship as conscience dictates, and particularly a Western Christian concept. Mm-hmm. It does not exist in radical Islam. And so what we see is the heat is really being turned up around the world, and it's being turned up particularly on Christians and particularly in several Mideastern states.
It's possible that the central focus of Christian persecution today is in Iraq, where ISIS, which has declared itself the new Islamic State, is rapidly advancing. Here's a recent chilling report from CNN.
Day by day, it's getting worse and worse. More children are being beheaded. Mothers are being raped and killed. The fathers are being hung.
The atrocities committed by ISIS are well known, but still you're startling me with the severity of what you're describing.
The world hasn't seen an evil like this for generations.
John, this is blood-curdling. This is going on in our time, right now.
And I think people have been slow to believe that, but it really is happening right now in Iraq. Thankfully, recently, our government has begun to take action, including even military action, to help try to stem this. But what you have is this group ISIS, which basically stands for Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. Mm-hmm. They are self-proclaimed leaders now in Iraq. They are trying to set themselves up as the Islamic State in Iraq. And they've carried on a systematic campaign that has included wiping out Christians. In Mosul, is where it's been the worst, in the northern part of Iraq. In 2003, it was estimated that you had 60,000 Christians there. A couple of years ago, that number was down to 35,000. Today, as we speak right now, the number of Christians in Mosul is zero.
Jesus said, "The day will come when men will kill you and think that they're offering a worship service to God by killing you." And that's been fulfilled in the past in some ways, but I'd say it's being fulfilled in our day when Christians are being targeted for beheadings and things like that, even children.
It's crucial that Christians recognize the extent to which this is happening now, particularly in the radical Islamic world, particularly in the Middle East. And it's happening in Africa and some other places as well. And we're going to talk about those. But the reality is that what's happening in Iraq has been sort of the touch point for all of this. Ironically, Christians were far better under the dictator Saddam Hussein a few years ago than they've been since he was overthrown. It was a secular state. It was not an Islamic state. state. And what happens sometimes is that you remove one leader and you end up with a vacuum. Mm-hmm. Nature abhors a vacuum, and radical Islam has been trying to fill the instability that's taken place in these Middle Eastern states over the past 2 years.
You wonder how some of these people could do these incredibly inhumane things. Robert Spencer has virtually written the book when it comes to radical Islam. In fact, he's written several books on the subject. Here's what he said when we asked him one time about atrocities done by radical Muslims against innocent people.
This is something that is actually mandated by Islam. The Quran says in chapter 9, verse 123, to fight the unbelievers and let them find a harshness within you.
Ignatius Yusuf Yunan III, Patriarch of the Syrian Catholic Church, was recently quoted as saying, "Where is the conscience of the world? Where's the United Nations? Where's the American administration to protect peace and justice?" he asked. Nobody has said a word. John, it's unbelievable. And the temperature is rising, but not only in the Middle East, but in other places as well.
That's right. And again, thankfully, the word is starting to get out, and that's part of what we're wanting to do here today. The American government is taking action. We've been at war, for instance, in Iraq for over a decade now, but there's renewed military attention to what's happening with ISIS. So the word is starting to get out. But American Christians, I think, have been far too complacent about this. When our brothers and sisters are being beheaded, we need to be standing up and making our voices heard and making our prayers known to the Lord.
And what's amazing, too, is that this isn't just happening in Iraq. It's not just happening in Syria. In fact, Todd Nettleton from Voice of the Martyrs gives us an overview on persecution against Christians.
The persecuted church in 2014, we've identified more than 60 countries where Christians will face persecution this year. The bad news is the persecution is increasing. The number of Christians killed is increasing. Literally, Christians laying down their lives because they say, "Jesus is Lord. I will follow Jesus no matter what you do to me."
John, one recent case of anti-Christian persecution involved a woman from Sudan.
That's right. It was the case of Miriam Ibrahim. Many people may have heard about it. She is a Sudanese citizen, but her husband is an American citizen. She grew up Christian, and yet she was tried and convicted by an Islamic court of being an infidel, of having rejected an Islam that she never held to. She was sentenced to death for that supposed crime and was imprisoned, and in fact gave birth to her second child in prison, in chains, because of that. A lot of international pressure was brought to bear, including the viewers of this ministry actually helped in that effort. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, she was released. She's now out of Sudan. But it does go to show you, it's a capsule, it's a picture of the sorts of things that are happening at the hands of radical Islam to Christians around the world.
But on the positive side, it also shows you that if we do put pressure on our government, there can be a difference.
That's right. And that's why we need to be praying about this and need to be active in this cause.
Now, we do know about those 300 girls that were kidnapped in Nigeria. What people don't realize necessarily is that they were Christian children being kidnapped. The New York Times said the motive of Boko Haram, the ones who did the kidnapping, is mysterious. And yet the leader of Boko Haram said, "You Christians need to know that Jesus is not the Son of God." That's what this is all about. It's a spiritual battle.
That's right. And unfortunately, many people in the West have been very slow to pick up on that and not realizing there's a theological battle here. There's a spiritual battle here. By not understanding that, it's been to our detriment.
Well, we must remember what the Bible says. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. So it's imperative that the world, and especially Christians, know what is happening and act on it. We need to be aware of what's happening and imploring our own government to act. As Dr. Michael Brown recently said in a column, something is very wrong when we know more about Kim Kardashian's latest fashion statement than about the slaughter or kidnapping of hundreds of Christian children in Nigeria. John, thanks for joining us.
It's good to be with you, Jerry. Thank you.
How can we ignore what's happening to our brothers and sisters in some of these other countries? Years ago, when this anti-Christian persecution began to become more prominent, my dad was asked to join other Christian leaders in Washington, D.C. to focus on it. He said he couldn't live with himself if he ignored the plight of the Christians overseas. And now, that threat seems to be getting worse. The reports on what is happening to Christians and other religious minorities in the face of radical Islam are something out of a horror movie. My father had the wisdom and foresight to sound the alarm on the resurgence of radical Islam in our time. And now we have compiled 7 of his most powerful messages on DVD dealing with this. It's called The Threat of Radical Islam. The message you saw today in its full-length version is contained on this set, as well as other full-length messages such as When the Towers Fall, Days of Patriotism, and A Shield for America. We want you to have this 7 DVD series for your generous donation of any amount to this ministry. Please write to us at Box 6085, Albert Lea, Minnesota 56007, or call toll-free 888-334-9762, or go online to truthinaction.org. This set, The Threat of Radical Islam, is also available in audio CD format, so let us know which you prefer. Many are afraid today to speak the truth about the threat of radical Islam. Some in our country seem to be more troubled by radical Christians than by radical Muslims. But who stands poised to cut off your head if you don't agree with them? Warning, these messages are not politically correct. But they are truthful. They also contain hope, showing how the gospel of Jesus Christ can overcome any problem, including radical Islam. In the world we live in today, it's urgent that you understand the threat and the solution. The new 7 DVD set, The Threat of Radical Islam, is yours for a generous donation of any amount. Please write to us at Box 6085, Albert Lea, Minnesota 56007, or call toll-free 888-334-9762, or go online to truthinaction.org. Be sure to specify DVD or CD.
Some of you can give $60, others of you can give $70 or $100 or more. Please come alongside us and partner with us to continue to make these broadcasts possible. What we've been saying today in our program could not be shown in certain Western nations. There are forces that want to silence any criticism of Islam, even when telling the truth. Dr. Kennedy was always committed to telling the truth from a biblical perspective in love, despite the pushback. And we're committed to not backing down from his original vision. Thank you for joining us, and God bless you.
And may God bless America.
Today's program is available on DVD or audio CD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. Next week on Kennedy Classics.
My friends, we can change America.
You never know when the sun's going to burst forth in terms of dramatic change.
That's next week. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.